What if I told you that within today's episode is one tip that can transform your running journey, unlocking levels of endurance and joy you may have thought were out of reach? Stick around as we unravel this game-changing advice.
Ignite your journey.
Welcome back to Time for Brunch, where we mix a few of our favorite things, insightful conversations, lots of extra motivation, and incredible guests with extraordinary stories. I'm your host, Coach Christine. I'm a level 2 RRCA run and ACE health coach specializing in women's health. Today's episode is packed with some goodness, including a warm welcome back to a returning guest of our brunch table, a true powerhouse dynamo in the running and coaching world, a fellow level 2 RRCA coach, Tia Pettigrew. Tia packs tons of insights, but she also has a mic drop piece of advice that she's eager to share with all of us, particularly emphasizing the need for runners to take their easy runs easy. And trust me, coming from Tia, this advice is golden. However, we have so much fun catching up, and we have so much for her to share with you all that we didn't get a chance to dive too deeply on the running easy runs easy. So before we get to the fun conversation and chat with Tia, I want to spend some time explaining what that really means, how to tackle it, and some obstacles that folks find in incorporating it. Trust me, it's a game changer for runners of all levels. Oh, and speaking of games, Tia and I had a blast playing a little bit of This or That Running Edition. We've dropped that game in our newsletter and also posted in our Facebook community page. So be sure to check it out and play along with us. It's a fun way to dive into your running preferences and maybe even spark a little friendly debate amongst friends. Now let's get into the goodness of today's topic, the art and science of easy running, framed by the much talked about 80-20 rule. For those unfamiliar, this principle suggests that 80% of our runs should be at a low, easy intensity, while the remaining 20% can be allocated to high-intensity workouts. This approach isn't just a random idea, it's backed by substantial research and has been adopted by some of the world's leading athletes and coaches. So why run easy? Well, it's all about balance. Easy runs help build our aerobic base, enhance cardiovascular system efficiency, encourage muscle adaptation, all while reducing the risk of injury. This slow and steady approach lays the foundation and groundwork for our body to handle and recover from the more intense 20% of our training. And let's not forget the mental health benefits. Running easy allows us to enjoy the run. Imagine that. Soak in our surroundings and reduces the likelihood of burnout. It's a time when we can truly connect with the joy of running, which, let's be honest, is why so many of us started running in the first place and what keeps us lacing up. But when we talk about that critical 20%, we're referring to workouts like intervals, tempo runs, hill sprints. These sessions are where we see significant improvements in speed, running economy, and our overall performance. It's tempting to think that more is better. You may even hear that from some folks, but the beauty of the 80-20 rule is that there is beautiful balance. It ensures we're not overtraining or under recovering, both of which are crucial for long-term success and enjoyment in running, no matter what season you're in. Now, you may be thinking, okay, what does this all really mean and what does that look like for me? Well, first, let's talk about how we're going to measure easy runs. Tia touches on it from a perceived effort. We're going to go through a few different ways that you can tackle quantifying with several different metrics to ensure you're training at the right intensity. Here's how easy running can be defined in terms of various metrics. First off, right out of the gate is pace. For all of us that love our Garmins or our Coros or GPS watches, easy runs are typically performed at a pace that is significantly slower than your race pace or the pace that you might run during a hard effort workout. For many, this can be 1 to 2 minutes per mile slower than their current 10K race pace. However, the exact pace can vary wildly among runners based on fitness levels, training backgrounds, and your individual goals. The second metric, and by these I don't necessarily mean it's one versus the other. It could be a beautiful combination of all of these metrics, but another way that folks may utilize to measure easy running is heart rate. Heart rate is one of the most objective metrics for defining easy running. Easy runs are usually done at 60 to 75% of your maximum heart rate. To estimate your MHR, your maximum heart rate, you can use the formula 220 minus your age. For example, a 30-year-old runner would have an estimated maximum heart rate of 190 beats per minute, and an easy run would be about 114 to 142 BPM for them. Now, again, that's not an exact formula, but it does work for a good estimate to get you started in easy running and giving you those parameters. Another great metric is that perceived effort. Again, Coach Tia joins us in discussing this. Perceived effort is subjective, but it's incredibly valuable to gauge easy running. It's often rated on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being super easy, like a leisurely stroll, 10 being an all-out maximum effort. Easy runs should feel 3, 4, 5 on that effort scale, where you can carry on a conversation without much difficulty. This is often referred to as the talk test or conversation test, or for folks that are maybe listening to music as they're out for their easy runs, you should be able to sing along to quite a bit of the lyrics of the song. Not necessarily a full monologue. You don't have to be the headliner of the concert, or you don't have to be accompanying Taylor Swift on her big world tour, but you do have to be able to at least get out a few of those lyrics without losing your breath. Which brings us to the next metric. It's breathing. Easy running should be at a pace where breathing is controlled and comfortable. You should be able to breathe through your nose or comfortably chat, as I mentioned before, with your running partner, or sing that Taylor Swift song at the top of your lungs. If you find yourself gasping for air or unable to speak in full sentences, you're likely running too fast for an easy run. And the next one of my favorite ways to measure it, is recovery. An easy run should leave you feeling like you could run the same distance again right away, or at least feel fully recovered after a good night's sleep. It should feel energizing and invigorating. It shouldn't significantly impact your ability to perform in your next training session, or for a lot of us that are incredibly busy, it shouldn't leave you having to fully recover on that couch all day long after you're done with your easy run. Now, let's talk about applying the 80-20 rule, thinking, okay, I understand what you're saying, Coach Christine, but what does this actually look like in practice, especially when we consider runners at different stages of their journey? Whether you're lacing up for the very first time, if you are, welcome, we're so glad to have you here as part of the community, or you're a seasoned marathoner or beyond, the principle has something for everyone, so let's break it on down. For those getting started or returning from injury, all of your runs can feel harder. Therefore, while you're getting that consistency rebuilt, that should be your primary focus, nailing consistency. I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole or get up on my soapbox about why it's so important to just nail your consistency, but time and time again, I often see runners overcomplicating things and wanting to dive into hard efforts, getting into all of like VO2 max and tempo, adding tons of miles, or wanting to tackle a running plan that has 5 or 6 days of running. No, right out of the gate, nail consistency as your foundation. That's it. That's where you should be at. That should be your sweet spot. Once you have a consistent running routine, we can move forward with adding in some sizzle and pop. But the most important aspect is, and will continue to be, no matter where you're at in your running journey, will be consistency. So let's say you've nailed consistency. You're getting in 3 to 4 runs per week of conversation pace miles and time on your feet. And you want to start developing your training to follow more of the 80-20 principle. If you're running, let's say 10 to 15 miles per week, therefore your easy miles should be about 8 to 12 miles, making those runs the bread and butter, helping you build endurance, strengthen that cardiovascular system, and importantly, enjoying the process without overtaxing your body. Now, you wanted some sizzle. I get it. The remaining 20%. Again, I want to caveat that this is after you have built a foundation of running and you have been consistent in your miles. You can add in about 2 to 3 miles of speed and harder efforts. A great way that I like to introduce folks that are just getting dabbling into that speed work would be fartleks. So you can get a taste of running faster without the pressure of hitting specific paces or running for exact distances. Of course, fartlek, the Swedish term for speed play, would kind of look like this if you're tackling it as an unstructured workout. If you're out on a usual easy run, after a good warm-up, you pick a landmark in the distance, maybe a street lamp or a tree or a street sign, and you run a bit faster until you reach it. Then you return to your easy pace to recover, And then you repeat these spontaneous bursts of speed a few times during your run. They are not structured intervals. Think of them as playful sprints. I kind of always liken them to how you would naturally see a dog that's out unleashed as to how they would tackle their run. They may have a burst of speed when they catch up to one of their other fur friends, and then they'll stop for a while to play, maybe smell the roses, and then have that burst of speed again. So that would be an unstructured fartlek. Of course, there are structured speed plays as well, but to get started, I would highly recommend making it unstructured because they will help improve your running economy and speed, but they're still flexible and they're a whole lot of fun. If you're now clocking in about 15 to 25 miles each week, you have likely built a strong foundation. Maybe you're not even a stranger to speed work and you're looking to refine your running. You want to improve your speed. Maybe you're eyeing a time goal or a race. Applying the 80-20 rule at this stage means you have a bit more room to play when it comes to those hard efforts. Let's go ahead and dissect how this looks. So let's say you're running 20 miles a week, for example. That's 16 miles of easy running and 4 miles of more intense work. This balance helps to ensure that you're building that endurance and strength while minimizing the risk of injury. So what does that 20% look like? Well, for intermediate runners, it's time to get a bit more structured with your speed work. One workout I highly recommend, can't say I highly love it, but I do them and I highly recommend them because they're great for physiological adaptations and performance enhancement, is the tempo run. It's a sustained effort run where you're not going all out, but you're definitely pushing beyond your usual comfort zone. A simple tempo workout to try if you're getting started with them is start with a mile of easy running to warm up. Transition into a 20-minute tempo run at a pace that feels challenging yet sustainable. If we're going into, again, more of that conversation of utilizing RPE, you're bumping it up to a 6 or 7 on that RPE. You should be able to speak in short phrases, but not carry on a full conversation. If you're singing out loud to the song, likely at that point you are singing maybe the hook or a chorus line, not the entire lyrics. You're gonna then finish with a mile cool down at an easy pace. This workout is fantastic for improving your lactate threshold, which essentially means you'll be able to run faster for longer without hitting that proverbial wall. Incorporating a tempo run into your weekly routine offers a structured way to tackle that 20% of harder effort, and it's a step up from speed play of fartleks, giving your body a taste of a sustained effort that pays dividends on race day or whenever you're testing your limits. For those in that 15 to 25 mile per week range, remember the beauty of running isn't just in how fast or how far you go, but the journey itself. So blend those easy runs with those targeted tempo efforts, and you're not only setting the stage for some personal best, but also ensuring that your running journey is varied, sustainable, and above all, enjoyable, because if we don't keep loving this, we're not going to keep doing it. Now, let's talk about our higher mileage runners, those hitting the pavement or trails. For more than 30 miles per week, at this level, you're likely fine-tuning your performance, you're chasing down personal records, or maybe even eyeing the podium at your next race. The 80-20 rule remains your guide, but you fill in that 20% and it becomes a bit more strategic. Let's say with 30 miles a week, 24 of those should still be easy and comfortable. This foundation is crucial even for seasoned runners as it allows for recovery, builds endurance, ensures you're logging miles without overtraining. But the remaining miles, well, that's when you would add in some tempo runs, intervals, and hill workouts. So you'd have likely 2 to 3 harder efforts per week. That doesn't mean that the entire workout will be a hard effort. It could very well mean that you have some of those easy, comfortable, longer warm-ups, easy, comfortable, longer cool-downs, and you mix in some of those harder efforts right in between, nestled in like the perfect sandwich, of course, with some really good spicy sizzle goodness in between. So friends, this approach not only lets you hit that 20% mark with precision, but it also builds strength, speed, and mental toughness. The tempo run boosts your lactate threshold, intervals improve your speed, hill repeats develop power and resilience, and hills also just help improve your form so beautifully. It's a trifecta of running excellence. I also want to say these structures are based off of individual goals and needs. Therefore, no matter where you are in your running journey, make sure you are finding time for other aspects of wellness that brings you joy, including seasons that allow you to enjoy other forms of movement, less intensity, and of course, never outrunning your joy for this incredible sport. Now, I've championed the 80-20 rule and the transformative power of easy running, but a common obstacle that I see many runners face is the gray zone. Now, for us Run Disney fans, we automatically think of it's like gray stuff, but no, it's not quite so delicious. It's a tricky middle ground where you're running too fast for recovery, but not hard enough to elicit that significant fitness gains. And a lot of runners find themselves kind of feeling at home in that gray zone. Let's unpack the gray zone, why it's a problem, and how you can overcome it to make your easy runs truly easy. First off, as I mentioned, it's a comfort zone for a lot of runners. It feels like you're working hard because you are, but it's not the optimal intensity for improvement. This is a critical point. Not every run should feel like a race against yourself. When too many of your runs land in the middle intensity, you're missing out on the benefits of both high intensity training and low intensity easy runs. So how do we avoid this trap? Well, it starts like pretty much every aspect of our lives with mindset. Remind yourself that easy runs have a purpose. They're not quote unquote slush miles or junk miles. They're building your endurance, they're enhancing recovery, they're building mitochondria, the powerhouse energy cell. They're preparing your body for hard efforts. Embracing the slow is not a step back, it's a strategic move forward. Now, this is one of the issues that we see with technology. It's a beautiful, beautiful component to our running, but it can be a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, gadgets like our beautiful, beloved Garmin's and Coros and heart rate monitors are fantastic for keeping us honest about our pace and effort. On the other hand, it's easy to get caught up in the numbers and push harder than necessary. So my advice is use those tools wisely. Set them to alert you when you're exceeding your easy runs or heart rate zones. If you're working with me as a one-on-one client, you know that I'm already doing that and I'm checking on it. I'm checking to make sure you're staying in those zones, friends. And sometimes, maybe, and this is a scary one for a lot of us, leave the watch at home and run naked, run by feel. It's liberating and helps you reconnect with the joy of running. Another tip that's absolutely fabulous, and you hear me say it time and time again, social running, get out with your run groups. Run with someone who's maybe a bit slower than you. It's a fantastic way to ensure you're keeping at the pace that's easy, and it can be a wonderful social experience. After all, running is about community as much as it is personal achievement. Now, to folks that are navigating the gray zone, remember patience and discipline in your easy runs pay off. It's not gonna happen overnight. They make the hard days possible and rewarding. Breaking free from the gray zone means giving yourself permission to slow down and maybe smell those flowers I mentioned earlier, with the knowledge that you're building a stronger, more resilient runner's body and mind. So let's embrace those easy runs with purpose, joy, and maybe a good running buddy at our side. If you have more questions than answers, or you want to chat about 80-20 and how you can apply it, so maybe you're looking at conquering some of your own big audacious goals, or you're looking for somebody to help guide you in this process, feel free to reach out to me on social media or fill out the one-on-one application for us to have a consult. But all right, friends, let's get into the fun and warm conversation with one of my absolute favorite people. I couldn't be more excited to introduce our special guest today. So without further ado, let's bring on in Tia Pettigrew. But her running resume, every single time that we talk about it in her run coaching resume, is as inspiring as it is extensive. Tia Pettigrew. Tia has been an endurance runner for over 15 years, a run coach for over 11, sharing her passion and expertise virtually to inspire runners far and wide with over, and I probably should even put this count out here because by the time this hits the official airwaves, it'll be different. But over 168 half marathons, 11 marathons, a triathlon under her belt. She's also looking at the world of ultras. We'll be talking about that as well. Welcome, Tia. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm awesome. Thank you.
So I always enjoy chatting with you. I'm always inspired by chatting with you. I know our listeners love hearing what's going on in your world, and there is so much from the last time we spoke. And so I don't even know exactly where to dive into it because, again, you're a national coach for Black Girls Run. You're going to be speaking this fall at the national conference. You're going to be tackling Boston in just a few short days. You're doing an ultra. So let's start with this. Let's start with a brunch question. If you could take any runner out for brunch and you could curate the menu, who would you take? Where would you take them to? And what would you want on that menu?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Any runner.
Any runner. So it could be elite. It could be someone that you run with on the weekends. It could be your loving and adoring husband, whoever you want. We're also not going to tell him if you end up not choosing him. This is your call, my friend.
Oh my gosh. Well, if I'm going to run with anybody, I'm always going to run with my husband. Because that's just so much fun. We ran together yesterday. I said, any run with my husband is a good run.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Now, would you want him to be your brunch date as well afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. So what are you guys having for your brunch date? Like, what are you ordering?
Some form of pancakes for sure. Definitely some pancakes.
I almost said that. I know that you definitely have like this, like your celebratory after, I think it was 8 miles.
Eight miles.
Yep. Okay. Okay. So we're having pancakes. I mean, I know most folks are going to want to invite themselves along to this brunch. So that sounds delicious. It sounds like a lot of fun. And let's dive into that aspect, actually. So, of course, we've had you and Johnny with Love on the Run with us before. You run together, sometimes not. You both have pursued your own incredible goals, but you also have both. You were kind of inspired for Boston because of Johnny, and now you've made it officially happen. For friends who maybe didn't hear about how your road to qualifying, can you give us a little bit of a synopsis of that?
Sure. 2022... that was when I decided I was going to go for it. I had not raced a marathon since 2014. And that was my last Boston attempt at Grandma's Marathon. So I started running these halves in a really good time, just without training, under 2 hours. And I said, you know, I wonder what I would do if I trained. So I set my sights on March 2023. And I started training in October of 2022. And I chose the first weekend of March because I knew it had a lot of BQ options, a good Boston qualifying races, but I didn't choose my actual race until 5 days before because it was based on weather.
I know. I still love that. And I think that now we're seeing more than ever with weather being, especially this past year, weather being so different, hard to kind of predict, and how much that can impact our races from Chicago, which was record-breaking, amazing finishing times because the weather was so phenomenal, to so many races that have been impacted the other way around where it's been unseasonably warm or humid or high winds. So I always love that that was your strategy in terms of focusing specifically on a race more along the lines of really giving yourself all of the chances for success. So with that, you are making your way to your very first Boston. What are some of the things that are going through your mind as you get ready to toe the start line there?
Oh, let me see. Will my skirt be ready? And what am I going to put on my tank?
The hard-hitting questions. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I have the weekend is packed. I want to do everything that they have available. So, you know, I'm going to the post-run party. There's a group called Black Runners Connect that they do a procession of all the Black athletes, which is amazing. There's an elite mile after the 5K. I'm doing the 5K. I want to just soak it all in. And for the race itself, I plan on just enjoying it. So I am doing minimal training, what I need to do, because I want to make sure I really just enjoy the experience, because I've seen too many people, they raced it. They didn't see a whole lot or get a whole lot. And I want to. I don't know that I'm ever going to go back, and I'm okay if I don't, but I want to enjoy the experience.
So I want to touch on that, because one of the things that you and I do have in common, besides our love for running, is the fact that we do also have quite a love of racing. But I use that term a little loosely because I don't necessarily race every single official organized race that I sign up for by trying to make it a PR or going even hard or strong. Sometimes it's just really about enjoying it, as you mentioned, that you're planning on doing in Boston. How do you balance the demands of travel and races with still enjoying yourself at all of those? Because, I mean, again, you have quite the dedication of races that you have racked on up.
Yeah, so I would say out of my 170 half marathons I've done, I've probably raced 30 or less. When I travel, I'm typically not traveling to go for a time. If I'm going to a place where I want to see the sights, I want to take pictures, enjoy the course. And that's really important to me. So sometimes I may run a little harder, sometimes I may not. But I think that's one of the reasons why I've been able to avoid any major injuries over the years is because I pick and choose when to race, when to hold back. I don't race a lot. I did that in the early years, you know, everyone getting a PR every race, you know, years ago. But you learn to get smarter. And so I enjoy it. If it's a place, maybe I don't know if I'm going to come back. I just want to enjoy it.
Right. Absolutely. Is that something you find difficult in expressing that when you're bringing on run coaching clients? Do you have that conversation with them? Is that part of how you express that not every race season is going to be the same? And how do you help them to tackle and navigate that aspect?
Yeah, so I have some clients that when they're training, they do their long runs better if they're within a race. And so when I know that up front, I just want to make sure they know, well, not every race is going to be for time. Are you comfortable doing some of those races at your easy pace? So I make sure that we have an agreement. You know, there will be some, you know, if you're doing, because I have one woman, she just did her fifth world major. And so she does a lot of half marathons to get all her miles in. And she's learned. She knows, I let her know sometimes, okay, run this one easy. Okay, we'll put some things in this one, maybe some fast miles within it, you know, kind of thing. So, but yeah, so everyone is different. So we have that conversation so they know that they're not racing all the time if they have a lot of races on their schedule.
And those are the type of questions that I assume you tackle and help new coaches to navigate as they come to you through Game Changer Run Coach Mentorship, because that is a program that you're involved with as well.
Yes. So this is my fourth year as a Game Changer coach mentor. And that is some of the questions that people have as they start bringing on their first clients. That's usually where they are. They're bringing on their first clients and everyone has kind of a different situation. So helping them navigate those questions, definitely.
So let's learn a little bit more. If you could tell me in the audience, what is Game Changer, the mentorship program, and how do folks get involved? What are the different aspects of it?
So Game Changers was started by Vanessa Peralta Mitchell, who is an amazing woman. And it just kind of organically came to her where she just didn't see enough representation in the coaching world. So as we get more representation for runners, there just wasn't that same representation in the leadership, so coaches. And so she thought, well, what if I could start something? So she was able to partner with the RRCA, the Road Runners Club of America, which is probably the largest coaching organization. So through them, once a year, they sponsor a class of women of color. So they're all women of color. And women of color coaches, they go through the sponsorship. Once they're done, they're assigned a mentor for 6 months. We meet, they get a business strategist. They're given so many tools. You know, we have their speakers in all areas. As a financial advisor, they had me even speak on finances, people that want to go from part-time to full-time and how to handle emergency fund and setting up retirement plans, things like that. So they get a lot of resources on it. It's just, it's an amazing organization. I've learned so much about so many different women because I've coached some women that are Native American and I didn't know a whole lot about that. And in just knowing things that I take for granted, there, I coached a woman in the state of Washington and she's Native American. And most runners, they put together maybe a route for their runners. She puts together a route thinking in mind that they won't get kidnapped because that's something they have to be concerned about. And I had no idea. So it's opened me up to just the different challenges and different, you know, that they have. And she was the first woman, you know, Native woman in her area, and women flocked to her because they were looking for something like that. So it's been an amazing thing, just opening it up to have more diversification and inclusion in our sport.
So powerful, because again, we all, if we're listening into this program, it's because we have found that running specifically is such a transformational gift for all of us. So again, whenever this gift can be multiplied and given to multiple communities to help empower, it's such a strong, strong gift that I'm passionate about it. So thank you for your work with them. And we can definitely drop in episode notes a little bit more about Game Changer Run Coach Mentor Program, because I know that they They are a nonprofit. They run off of donations. So there's so many great ways that people can get involved with it as well. And I love, again, that you've been in this world for so long and helping to impart your wisdom and knowledge, because there is a lot to it, both with running and becoming a coach for folks that are interested in doing that as well.
I agree. And it was one of the things where, when I was approached about it, I thought of it as a way to give back to the running community, because I feel like I've been so blessed.
I want to touch on that. That's perfect, because that's something that a lot of episodes recently have been dedicated to. When we have this gift given to us with running, at some point we have to make sure that we give it on as well. And there's so many different ways to get involved. I mean, I personally have some nonprofits that I'm very passionate about, but I want to talk a little bit about your pacing experience, because that's another way that you've given back. So how did you get involved with pacing? How do you take that responsibility seriously with getting people to their goals? And is that just any of the other ways that you feel like you have been able to give back to this incredible sport?
So I got involved in pacing when my husband first qualified for Boston in 2010. He needed a 320. And so we found the 320 pacer. And I went up to him and I introduced both of us and said, my husband needs to get a 320. So he's going to be running with you. Of course, Johnny's looking at me like I'm crazy. So he got it, obviously. But he had a really good experience with the pacer. So a few months later at the Disney Marathon, I decided, well, I'm going to run with a pacer. And I unfortunately had a pretty bad experience. It was a pretty negative experience. I didn't find them to be helpful or friendly or anything. And I said, wow, that wasn't good. And so later on that year, I received an email, I think from the Rock and Roll series. They were doing the inaugural Savannah Rock and Roll, and they were looking for pacers. And I said, oh, I'd love to do that. You know, Johnny had a good one. I didn't have such a good one. I think I could be a good one. And so I signed up to be a pacer. So I was a 2:30 pacer for Savannah Rock and Roll. Had no idea what I was doing. I was pacing 2:30, and I had probably only run 5 half marathons at that point. My slowest one was my first one at 2:19. So I'd never even run a 2:30. So I remember running a half the week before to try to do it. And I got to 2:22. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I run it, and it was Savannah Rock and Roll. It was a huge race. So I had like 100 people running with me, and I'm just faking it, like, you know, fake it till you make it. And I came in right on time, 2:29.
And you're like, I'm perfect at this.
Yes. And I've got people hugging me at the end, and, you know, PRs, people that did their first half. And I loved it so much because I loved helping other people meet their goals. So I immediately reached out to a few other races, and I heard back from Space Coast. And he said, Jim, it's a company called Marathon Pacing. And he said, hey, I was thinking about putting in a 2:15. Could you do that? Sure. And so I paced Space Coast 2011, and I've paced it ever since. Pretty much every year other than 2014 when I ran the marathon, and 2020 when COVID was kind of going on. So, but other than that, I've been pacing Space Coast, and then I got into Gasparilla and a few other sprinkles here and there. But it's so amazing helping other people reach their goals. You get those hugs and cheers at the end, someone that was trying to do it and had their best race.
So for folks that are at the point where they do want to give back, would you suggest that they just find something that kind of speaks to their own heart and soul? Or how would you suggest that folks get more involved? Because it sounds like you knew you loved this and you wanted to make sure that you could have a way to figure it out, and you just threw yourself into the mix. So how would you suggest people kind of get involved with be it pacing? Maybe it is mentoring, maybe it's partaking in spectating, because that's such an important role as well, or volunteering for course support. There's so many different great ways of getting involved. How do you suggest folks get started in that?
I think it is a matter of seeing what you like. There are some people, they want to be more behind the scenes. And, you know, one of the things I did for a few years, I was the volunteer coordinator for the Florida Road Races with Chris Lauber. And I handled all his volunteers for the water stops and everything for 5 of his races. And I did that for a couple of years, and I enjoyed that. So that was more of a behind the scenes. So it really is seeing what you enjoy most. Even handing out water at a water stop might sound like a little thing, but that is huge. When we're running out there, we rely on those people. So I make sure I always thank them. I thank all the volunteers. So whatever, you know, whatever speaks to you, if pacing, if you enjoy pacing and, you know, you want to do that, I've helped a few people start pacing. And that's fun too. So, but it really is just seeing what about the sport you enjoy the most? Is it the interaction? Is it, you know, you've hit some goals and so now you want to help somebody else do it? Do you want to just high five people as they go along? Because all of them, there's no where it's too little. They're all very necessary and significant.
Yes, I love that. That's such a great way of just kind of saying, hey, if it speaks to your heart, whether it's starting with getting a poster board together and spectating there or high fives, that's such a great way of getting started as well. I am curious, you touched on a little bit in our last conversation or just now, you said you kind of got involved with a little bit by learning about Savannah. And now here we are where we've heard there was just recently launched an incredible marathon that's coming up in Savannah. So do you want to tell us more about your involvement with running the women's marathon in Savannah again this fall?
My involvement is just, I'm running.
Okay.
So I am running with it. I told JL, she's the CEO of BGR. I said, if you need me for anything, let me know. But I just plan to just have a great girlfriend's weekend there.
Which is what the weekend is really meant for. It is a very empowering race specifically for women. It's very walker friendly. It's very stroller friendly, which I love so much. Especially because, again, we want to make sure that this is not something that just keeps us healthy, but keeps future generations healthy. And the best way of doing that is to really empower mothers to be able to get out there as well.
Yes. And all my running sheroes are part of it. So that's, I think, what really drew me when I saw all the captains that are part of it. Catherine Switzer, Des Linden, Allison, Mariella Desir. I mean, all of these women, you know, I'm so excited.
Absolutely. So friends, if you are at all curious, you may be able to get a sighting of course, Tia there, along with all of the other sheroes that you may have. And again, talk about a great race that has wonderful proceeds going to some of your favorites, my favorites, with the nonprofits that they're involved with, because they're involved with BGR, they're involved with Girls on the Run. So really, they are putting their money where their mouth is and making sure this is a great weekend to support Up and Beyond. So very, very exciting. Now, does this mean that you won't be at Space Coast? Because that's just a couple weeks before Space Coast.
Oh, that's just a half marathon. So yeah, I'll be pacing Space Coast.
Okay, so friends that are coming to Space Coast, don't worry. You're still going to have a chance to run with Tia there. And you're going to be pacing what group at Space Coast this year?
I never know until we're close, because it's kind of whatever they need. I've paced everything between 210 and 245. So whatever they need.
Perfect. So be prepared, friends, to run.
But I'm thinking it's going to be on the slower end, because if everything goes well, I'm running two marathons in November. So I'm hoping Space Coast will be a little slower for that recovery.
Okay. So party pace for sure with Tia, if you guys are interested in that as well. I'm hoping that we can get quite a few Time for Brunch folks out there for that particular race, because it's one of my favorites. And this is all on the road to, as we mentioned, your first ultra. What distance are you tackling for your ultra?
I've always wanted to just do a 50K just to check it off, but I'm not a trail runner. So I found one in Daytona Beach. I said I can drive to it. It's road. It's flat. It's December. So the weather should be decent. So I said, and if I get into New York, then it's just a few weeks later. So New York can be my ramp up. And then the women's marathon happens. So I guess that'll be a ramp up as well. So I'll be kind of trained up. So that was, you know, that kind of clinched it. And I think I may have talked two of my friends into doing it with me.
I mean, I'm sure that when this episode airs, there'll be others. So is this the Daytona 100 that has several different distances? Okay. So the Daytona 100, you're going to tackle 50K. There's also, I believe, a 50 miler that weekend.
50 miler and a 100 miler. Yeah. So, but the 50K starts at noon. I think you have until the next morning to do it. So I'm talking to my friends, Lisa and Cassandra, said, look, we can actually stop and have dinner. Okay. We have enough time. We can sit down for dinner if we want to.
I can't even fathom getting up after dinner to finish that race, but you know, I'm not going to mess with how you're trying to convince your friends. We all have to sway our friends differently. If that works for you guys, I will say though, Tia, you know that you've already tackled 50K, especially if you with New York City, by the time you get to that start line, the time you finish that finish line shoot, you get back to wherever you're celebrating your finish, you pretty much have tackled that distance. So this will just be the official first 50K with a medal dedicated to it.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, because I can even use Gasparilla. Over the course of the weekend of Gasparilla, it's a 50K pretty much when I pace that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love how you're talking about tackling all of this fun with your friends and being that one who can convince others to tackle things that maybe they didn't think that they would want to, or maybe they thought they wanted to, but they decided they were going to put it off a little bit further out. What makes you excited to check off your bucket list? Like, why are you still so passionate about all the different aspects of running and bringing other folks into it with you?
I think because it brings me so much joy that I want to see others have that joy. And I know running isn't for everyone. I do realize that. But in just having that joy and just always having a new goal, like my sister is not a runner, but she walked a 10K in January 2023 and she enjoyed it. She said, "Can you walk it?" I said, "Sure." So she's came the morning of, signed up and walked it and had a good time. And she said, "Well, can you walk half marathons?" I said, "Sure." And she said, "Well, I think I can do that." So she signed up for Disney. And she said, "You know, I haven't been to Disney in a while." So she signed up to do the Disney half marathon this year. And I said, "Well, let me see if I can pace it so we can hang out together." So I was able to become a pacer for it. And because of weather, they cut the course short, as you know. It ended up being 7.25 miles, but she finished. We had a great time, you know, with it. And she even after that came to Gasparilla and she did the 15K and the 8K. She walked them and enjoyed it. And she said, "I see why you enjoy the race environment." So she was able to kind of see my world. So that was really cool for her to see. This is why I love this.
So would you say that she's going to sign up again?
She'll do other races.
Okay.
Yep. Now, will she ever actually get that half marathon? I'm not sure. I won't pressure her, but I might ask her from time to time. So.
Okay. I know. I thought of you guys that weekend when they had made the call to unfortunately shorten it due to the weather. And I mean, it was the right call for the record because it was horrible weather afterward. But I was like, "Oh, I'm so sad," because I know that you guys were excited about that.
I know, because we didn't get to go through the Magic Kingdom, which is, you know, we really wanted to do. So we went through Epcot.
It's okay, though. I mean, it's okay, right? We all have those experiences with running. And if you run long enough, you're going to encounter some disappointments along the way in figuring out how to still look at the silver lining. So
she was perfectly fine. She was okay. Like I said, she enjoyed it. We had a good time. And she mentioned one thing that was so funny. I'm pacing. And so she's walking behind. And she said, "I kind of saw the power you have." She said, "Everyone would be running. And then I'd see you raise your hand. And then this whole group of people would start walking. And then after a little bit, they all start running." It was so funny because I never thought about that. She's like, "Oh my gosh, everybody's just following my sister."
Is she a younger sister?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then she already knew that you were powerful. She knew that you've been leading the pack for quite some time, but it was probably cool to see others in the same role. I have to say that I was so sick that race weekend that actually that race being called short was one of the best things that could have happened to me and also made me realize that I needed to stay at home and recover afterwards. So again, disappointments happen with racing if you're going to race long enough, but I'm glad that you made it fun and that you guys hopefully still got to tackle some fun Disney time as well. So Tia, I'm curious, what are some of the things that you would suggest to folks, whether they've been running for some time or they're getting started? What are some foundational things that they should do or add into their list to keep them healthy? Because again, as you've mentioned, you've been able to run for quite some time and really not had anything sideline you in terms of injuries, at least definitely not long-term. What are some things that you would hope that more runners would add into their routines to keep them healthy and as injury-free as possible?
I think to me, and when someone says, "Can you tell me one thing?" it would be run your easy runs really easy. I just see too many people running their easy runs too hard or running so many long runs really hard. And that was one of the things that I feel like helped me qualify for Boston is I knew what my easy pace range was. And as even if the weather was really good and, you know, I felt like, "Oh, I could run faster than this, it would be easy." I just stayed with that. And that's just something I would say, I wish more people just run the easy runs easy. You know, if you have a pace range, if your coach gives you a pace range, stay within that range. If you don't have that pace range, keep it at an effort level, no more than 4 to 5 out of 10. But that should be, you know, 80% of your runs, you know, for most people. just to really do that.
I feel like I'm going to have to like send you a stipend or a bonus for that. I'm going to have to like cut that clip, send it to all of the folks that I work with, because that is something that's really hard to do. For the record, it was something that I had a hard time transitioning to originally when I first started running, because I think a lot of us go into running thinking that it should be uncomfortable and hard. And that if we're not going out there and being uncomfortable or being breathless, then we're not doing it the right way. And it does take a bit of a mindset shift to start to see that it actually, I'm not saying that it's going to feel easy necessarily at every single time, but it should feel conversational. It should feel more relaxed, and you shouldn't feel absolutely wiped out after every single run either. So there is so much facets, so many great things that happen when running, or when you start to really change that and start running your easy runs, easier. Now, Tia, would you be down with having a little bit of fun with a little bit of running this or that?
Sure, always.
Because I'm super curious. Okay.
Always. That's why I love your podcast. So much fun.
So I am curious. Are you the kind of gal who embraces all of your run gear, including the sneakers and the gear, like for everyday life? Or do you only wear your running shoes and your running gear when you run or you're training?
Only when I run or when I'm training.
Yes, me too.
Yes. I have walking shoes, you know, some little cheap things. Or really when my running shoes kind of get towards the end of the mileage, they transition to walking shoes at that point. But yes, my running outfits and shoes are for running. I am rotating. I think I'm currently rotating 9 pair right now, but they're only for running.
And friends, there's a myriad of reasons of why that's good, actually. So nothing against you guys wearing your athleisure all the time. So feel free to do so. But specifically when it comes to your running shoes, do take in mind if you are utilizing outside of your runs, that does add to its life in terms of when you need to rotate them out or change them, because all of the mileage counts. So you definitely don't want to, if you want to extend the life of our very pricey run shoes, I would consider absolutely thinking of only utilizing them during training. I don't actually even use my running shoes for weightlifting or any other activities.
I don't either.
Yeah. So it's definitely one of those things where they are just my running shoes, and I have pairs of other things that I wear for all the other activities. Now, if you had to, we just talked about weather being, races being changed because of weather. If you had to choose, would you say that you would rather run a really hot run, or would you prefer it to be cold but rainy?
If it's a light rain, I'd rather do cold and rainy than hot. If it's storming, I'd rather have hot.
Okay. I like how there was a caveat of that. We had a little bit of just an aside as to how she's going to choose that. Got it. Okay. So I think I'm with you. I don't know, actually. Cold and drizzly is so miserable. I like warm and drizzly, for the record. I'm a bit of Goldilocks. I will say that. I think most of us Florida runners kind of are a bit of Goldilocks, where we like that just right weather.
Give me cold and sunny. That's my perfect weather. Cold and sunny.
Which we have here in Florida at least, 3 hours out of a full year?
Exactly. And that's what my BQ race, it was like 42 and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. It was perfect. So that was perfect.
I do love that. Now, I have to ask about your race photos. Would you rather have a photo that kind of captures the struggle, that really shows your intensity, where you got your game face on? Or do you want them to all come across as smiling and fun?
Oh, smiling and fun, because my game face is like not pretty. It's not at all new.
I mean, I'm not a pretty crier. My game face isn't really, it kind of looks mean. So I'm with you. I'd rather have my smiles going on. Now, I think I have a general idea, because we've talked about music in the past, but if we had to tune up, like you were to choose your race and you could curate the playlist of all playlists, are you down with maybe some 80s and 90s music, or are you going to curate more of today's top 40?
So people that know me know marathon, half marathon, whatever playlist, 40% of it is Imagine Dragons, period. Other than that, more 80s, a little bit of 8. My playlist is so diverse. I'll have an Imagine Dragons song followed by Metallica, followed by a country song, followed by an 80s, followed by hip hop. I mean, I have a little bit of everything. I'll have the, you know, Devil Went Down to Georgia on my playlist. So, but Imagine Dragons is definitely the most of my playlist every time.
That's your jam.
Yes.
Okay. I really thought we were going to go with 80s. I felt like you were more of an 80s gal, but okay. I mean, I dig it.
Outside of Imagine Dragons, yes, 80s okay. is more, but a little bit of everything.
Well, that especially when you're tackling as many distances and miles as you are, you do need some variety. There is no doubt about it. So good to hear. Now, I'm curious on your water stops. Are you a big fan of walking those water stops so you can get those sips? Or do you grab and go with your preferred race strategy?
I walk the water stops. When I ran my BQ marathon, I walked every water stop. And so I am a big fan of that.
I literally have this conversation so often. I know. I'm like, why? Why do seriously, you guys aren't going to lose that much time just by walking that water stop.
No, even if it's 10 seconds, even if it's 5 or 10 seconds, just to take that moment to do. So if I'm going for time, maybe I'll skip one or maybe I'll do every other, but it just depends. But usually I'm walking every water stop.
I'm with you. So friends, so you now know, by the way, for you guys that are going to sign up for Space Coast, that means that we're probably going to be walking those water stops is what I'm kind of hearing. But we'll see. We'll see. Because I know you have to follow your strategy there.
Nope. I walk every water stop. That's when I'm pacing.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Now, if you have to get passed by a runner, would you prefer it to be, from an ego standpoint, a runner half your age or someone twice your age?
Oh, half my age for sure.
Okay, I will tell you, I still feel that runners that are generally twice my age are such strong runners. They've been running since before the Walkman craze that there is, I have so much respect for them. Plus, they usually do absolutely crush me at most races that I feel like that's where I'm leaning. So I'm leaning more towards twice our age because half our age, you know, I don't know.
I'm like, they should be passing me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's true, though. That is true.
But I have so much respect when I see someone and, you know, there's this woman, she's in a local run club. And I think she's around 70 or so. And I remember last year we ran this 5K. And I think I came in like a few seconds ahead of her. And, you know, I think we both got first in our age group. And she's like, "Woo, boy, that was tough." She's like, "You barely beat me." And I'm thinking, man, that was like, took everything in the world because I saw her. I was like, okay, if I could beat her, you know, because she's amazing. Even, you know, 20 years older than me, she's so amazing. So I have so much respect for, you know, runners that are older than me because I hope to be there. At, you know, when I'm their age, I hope to still be running.
That's so true that we are all in it for the long haul. I feel too that one thing that happens to me quite often is that gives me a healthy respect is again, those mamas with those jogging strollers or those running strollers where I've trained with women that use jogging strollers and barely able to keep up with them. They are fierce. There is no doubt they're running off all of that extra stress and pressure that they have. And they are definitely intense. So there's always a little bit of an ego check when you go into running. And I think that that's one of the beautiful things about it.
Yes, but you haven't lived until you've been passed by someone that looks like they're about to have a baby. So they're at least 8 months pregnant and they pass you. It's like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness. So this is one of those things where you have to check it off. Like you feel every single time that you check one of these things off a little bit more like, yeah, I'm officially a runner now when I've had this experience. And I would say that that should be added to it. You have tons of race swag. There is no doubt about it. So I have to ask if you had to, moving forward, only be able to sign up for races because you would get fantastic medals or the t-shirts, which one would you prefer?
The medals.
Yeah, same.
And it's usually because I would say as soon as I see the t-shirt, I know if I'm going to keep it or not because I know if I would actually wear it. So versus I'm going to display the medal.
Yeah. I'm actually a big fan of, I would love to see race directors potentially give me the option of not taking either and having a discount because I would rather, I mean, honestly, I just love the race day experience and having the support on the course. I don't necessarily need the swag as much anymore, but I know that some of these races have such incredible swag, including Space Coast. And I'm sure, again, so many of the ones that you've got lined up are going to be incredible as well.
Yeah. And the newer runners, they don't have as much yet. So I can understand. And, you know, I actually mentioned that to a race director about having it optional, but I know they have to order a certain number of shirts by a certain amount of time. So, you know, it gets a little complicated.
It does. I mean, there are some that are starting to do that more so where they're basically building in the cost of the t-shirt separately. And we'll see if that continues. But again, whatever gets people out there, I don't care. If it's an extra few dollars for us to have medals and t-shirts because people get excited, I'm all down for it. Now, for the last question, the celebratory post-finish line, do you want to have any kind of specific post-run treat? Or do you want to still celebrate with an awesome finish line photo?
Treat.
You want a treat?
I want a treat.
Like, I don't need any more finish line photos. I've got plenty of those.
Because I probably won't buy the photos. You know? Unless it's like a goal race, I'm probably not going to buy the photo. So.
Which begs the question, are you thinking of buying or have you already bought your package for Boston?
They said the best time to buy it is at the expo. And yes, I will be buying it.
Okay. So again, we have to have priorities. When you're running these many races, you have to figure out which ones mean like what you're doing, what you're going all in for, and what are some that we're doing more as training runs.
Right. I bought the photos for my BQ race because they captured the most incredible photos. I couldn't even believe it. So I bought those and I'll buy the ones for Boston.
Oh, I love this. We're so excited to cheer you on at Boston. So Tia, we will be following you. Of course, we can find you on Instagram. I'll have that in episode notes as well. What is a little bit of parting words of wisdom that you would tell someone who's maybe struggling to find their motivation or their joy right now for running?
I would say sometimes people, they just keep running and going through training cycles. And it's okay to have a reset period of time. After a marathon, I will take a good solid week off with no running, no problem. And I won't even look at any type of training plan for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after that. You know, so running will be very minimal. So it's okay to pull back and reset, do something else for a little bit to gain your joy. And then as you do that, look out and see, okay, what race can I sign up for? So you have something to look forward to later.
Or you could just follow Coach Tia and figure out where she's going to be pacing. Know that that race is going to be a lot of fun. So we've got that going for us too. Tia, thank you so much. Please, please, please come back anytime. We love having you here with us at brunch. And thank you for everything that you do to make this running sport so available and to give that extra bit of joy.
Thank you so much for having me. I love you guys' podcast. It is so much fun. And I appreciate all you do as well for the running community.
Thank you. Friends, I'm not going to kid you. The minute that the question left my mouth, where I asked Tia who she would want to have for her long run and brunch buddy, I knew she was going to choose her husband. And I really was confident in that pancake response. But it was an incredible conversation with Coach Tia. It's always enlightening to hear her insights, her stories from the world of running and coaching, how she's making a positive impact in the sport that has given us so much. So remember, folks, to definitely check out that link in episode notes so that you can connect with her and connect with all of the incredible projects that she's working on. And as we finish up this conversation, I want to remind you about those easy runs and running them easy. Sticking to that 80-20 rule can really transform your training. It's not just me who's saying it. Coach Tia is saying it as well. Don't forget to check out that This or That Running Edition game in our newsletter and in our Facebook group community page. It's a fun way to engage with your running preferences to see where you stand on some classic, maybe some not so classic running debates. I want to thank you for joining us today at brunch. And I want you to keep lacing up those sneakers, keep those easy runs easy, and we'll see you next time. I'm going to ask you to keep reaching for those extraordinary goals. And of course, stay sparkly.